Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Well, the idea is to take an old site and give it a new use. There are fancy terms for this, terms such as adaptive reuse and repurposing. One prominent example is Union Station. Another, the King Louis West Ice Rink on Metcalf in Overland Park, slated to become the new home of the Johnson County Museum. Today, a look at finding new uses for old buildings. We'll talk about how to determine whether an old building is even worth saving and how you figure out what an old building might be used for. With us today are two women involved in repurposing local structures. Joining us are Mindy Love. She served as director of the Johnson County Museum since 2000. Mindy, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome back to Up to Date.
Thank you.
Elizabeth Rosen is a founder and principal of Rosen Preservation. She has over 20 years' experience in historic preservation and spent 5 years as a planner with the City of Kansas City, Missouri Landmarks Commission. And Elizabeth, nice to have you too.
Thank you. Pleasure
good
to
morning.
Be here.
Well, Mindy, let's start with the Johnson County Museum's new home, which is on the site of the former King Louis West Ice Rink out on Metcalf in Overland Park. Why did anyone think that an old ice rink, of all things, might be a suitable home for something like the Johnson County Museum?
The museum's been looking for a new property for a number of years.
Yeah,
the current
right.
facility is under it's full, basically.
Where are you now?
We are on just north of Shawnee Mission Parkway on Lackman.
Yeah.
And we're actually in an old schoolhouse, so we've done this before, repurposing a building. The current plan to move into the King Louis building came about because we're really looking to expand the museum and our vision and need more space.
Mm-hmm.
And the King Louis building it has so many positives for the museum and repurposing for us. It's a very large space without any columns and support beams, and so for museum purposes.
So a big open space inside.
Right. It's perfect mm-hmm. for exhibition purposes. You're unrestricted by some of that structural facility. And certainly the high ceilings of the ice rink are also really important for that type of exhibit space. It's certainly an icon in Johnson County. And as this news has come out, we've also learned that metro-wide it's an icon. Lots of people had their senior functions there, yeah. proms, various things that we were unaware of, metro-wide, not just within Johnson
yeah.
County.
So was it a natural fit, or did you have to sort of apply a whole lot of creativity here to imagine this ice rink becoming home to the museum?
Right. I think that's, for some of us, it took more creative thinking than others. I walked in the building the first time and could really envision it. We certainly wanted to make sure that it was structurally sound. Repurposing a building, you need to make sure that the bones of the building are solid and
that's
strong.
That's key, right? You don't want to have to rebuild a building.
It really is.
That defeats the purpose of the whole
it
thing.
It does. And, yeah. you know, for us, we were really looking for a facility in this economy that we could get for a good deal,
mm-hmm.
Frankly. And so this building certainly fit that. But, again, if it's not functional or, you know, structurally sound, the cost of that dramatically grows. Yeah. So that was another aspect.
When are you going to move in?
We don't know yet. We're working on those plans right now. We are a Department of County Government, so we are working with the County Commission on creating budgets, capital budgets for that process. And we may move in the next several years the existing museum as it is, or we may take a little more time and raise a little more money in the private community to realize one of our recent vision of really establishing a larger national museum, really looking at the suburbs.
Hmm.
How did suburbs become what they are today?
Right.
What's their evolution and growth over time beyond just the Johnson County suburbs, but a broader
yeah.
national look into that?
That's neat.
So,
well, Elizabeth, I'm guessing that at times it does take a whole lot of imagination to rethink how a building might be used. What about that?
It absolutely does. Some buildings lend themselves more easily to new uses or to some specific uses. Schoolhouses, for instance, are a great example. They are frequently repurposed for housing. You'll see lots of senior housing.
Apartments.
Apartments,
yeah.
exactly.
In every classroom's an apartment.
An apartment, or they could be little offices, or, you know, there's just so many uses for school buildings. Other buildings become more difficult. And the King Louis Ice Rink is a great example of a building that has big open spaces, but it may have other qualities that don't lend themselves easily to new uses, like not a lot of windows.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see a lot of those dichotomies. But pretty much with enough creativity and enough money, And any old building can be repurposed for just about any new use.
Well, Mindy's point that you need to have the bones of the building, the foundation, the basic structure, that sort of needs to be intact to make a repurposing make a whole lot of sense, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, the bones have to be there. If you have to rebuild the structure, you're not gaining anything.
Mm-hmm.
Even though existing buildings are definitely a green option, and they're a very sustainable approach to development.
Yeah. I'm thinking when we talk about creativity here, Elizabeth, about the new home of the Kansas City Ballet just to the west of Union Station. That used to be, I think, a coal plant.
Yep.
And it makes you wonder how you go from coal plant to home of the ballet. That's quite a leap.
It absolutely is, and it's a stunning renovation.
Oh, it's a stunning building.
And, you know, comparable to that.
Spectacular.
The Tate Modern Gallery in London did a similar thing on a slightly larger scale where they installed a new contemporary art museum in an old power plant facility.
Yeah.
So it's once you clear out sort of the mess of everyday operations of the old use, you can really see what the bones are. And in a lot of ways, an adaptive reuse is a much more creative challenge for the architects and for the designers.
Than building a brand new building.
Than building a brand new building. You know, a blank sheet of paper is always a little intimidating, but a clean site is so much easier to work with than the parameters that an existing building and its site are going to give you.
And we saw a lot of that with that building just on the west side of the plaza where that Moshe Safdie built, what's it called, the West Edge?
The West Edge.
Yeah, West Edge building, and all kinds of consideration about the law firm moving in there and could it work, could it not, and a very tricky proposition there.
A very tricky proposition, and you know, a lot of things can be made to work, and it's a matter of matching up the building and its conditions with the program that you want to put in at the end.
Yeah.
And how much flexibility you have in that program and how much flexibility you have in the building and finding that mesh.
Yeah. We talked just a minute ago about the use of old school buildings that oftentimes make good apartment buildings. I want to bring Shannon Jackson to our conversation. She's director of the Repurposing Initiative for Kansas City, Missouri Public Schools. And Shannon, good morning. It's nice to have you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Just how big a challenge do you face these days, Shannon, trying to find new homes for all of these abandoned school buildings in the Kansas City district?
Well, it is a big challenge, but you know, with Elizabeth's help and the larger community, we're making some great progress. We have 30 sites around the district. 30, and it's about 1.8 million square feet on 134 acres. So it is a large undertaking, but we have had really great participation. Over 1,500 people have participated throughout the community. We've received.
We participated doing what, Shannon?
So we've had a variety of ways. We have had tours of each of the buildings, where local stakeholders, whether you're a neighbor or you're a developer interested in one of the buildings, we walk the site together, getting an idea of condition as well as the layout, because some layouts lend themselves to certain things more than others, and Elizabeth's a lot better to talk about that than I am.
Mm-hmm.
But then we had a community discussion for each site as well. You know, what did closure of the school mean to you and your neighbors? What are community needs, and how might reuse of the site address community needs?
Well, it seems to me, Elizabeth and Shannon, by all means, chime in here, that the aging population sort of fits well. The timing of that is interesting given these available buildings, these old school buildings in Kansas City, Missouri. Am I seeing a natural fit there moving forward?
Absolutely. We heard a lot in these public meetings, and we see
you
this.
You took part in that, too.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Across the state, across the country, that as people are aging, they don't necessarily want the responsibility or the burden of taking care of their home, but they don't want to leave their
community. I don't want
community.
It now. I'm aging, but not that far yet, yeah.
But being able to stay in their community is important.
Mm-hmm.
We just wrapped up a project in Trenton, Missouri, which is in far northwest part of the
right,
state,
right.
Where they took the old high school, which had been vacant for many years, and put in 35 units of senior housing. And it was a tremendous boon for that community, very small community. It provided 55 full-time jobs over the past year and a half in the construction industry. There will be some new jobs created in terms of running the apartments afterwards, but then it's going to keep these seniors in their community as well.
I bet we're seeing that all over the country, Elizabeth.
Absolutely.
Am I right? That's, again, those two ideas seem to fit well together, old school buildings and the aging population.
Definitely. And there are some development companies who specialize just in that type of adaptive reuse project.
Yeah. Let me get our listeners involved here. We're curious to know what some of your favorite examples in the Kansas City area are of old buildings that have gotten new uses, and why do you appreciate them as much as you do? Our number here, 816-235-2888, our email address, updatedate@kcur.org, or go to KCUR's Facebook page. Shannon Jacks with the Kansas City, Missouri Public Schools. You mentioned there are 30 schools you're looking for new uses for. How many of those schools have you actually found new uses?
Well, to date, we have executed an agreement for one of the sites, which is the Longan School in Hyde Park, mm-hmm. and that is with Academy Lafayette. So they have a lease with an option to purchase. So they're looking at for a K through 2 expansion.
So that's a school staying a school,
exactly.
Then, basically.
Mm-hmm. We have 5 other sites that we are in, you know, stages of either evaluating the proposals that we have received, or we're in negotiations with individual parties for reuse of those. And then currently we have 8 additional sites that we are in the process, you know, where we have proposals that will be coming in. Those will be due in February.
Mm.
So, you know, all of the sites are kind of in a different stage, but we've got some really good movement on more than I actually thought that we would when we started this.
That's interesting. And why were you not too optimistic that you'd have more activity by now?
I'm sorry, say that again?
But why weren't you more optimistic that you would have found new uses for those buildings by now? You're saying you weren't thinking you'd be as far along as you are right now.
Right, and I think that is primarily, you know, a function of the market. You know, with the 30 sites, 1.8 million square feet, it's a lot to absorb. And a good portion of our buildings are in neighborhoods that are not only aging, but have seen quite a bit of decline in overall population.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, traditionally they're not the places that people are looking at for investment. But I would say we've had parties interested in more of those, and I really thought that we would starting out.
And again, just so I'm clear with you, Shannon, you're saying that roughly there's activity on roughly half of these 30 buildings?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so half of them are still sort of sitting there waiting for some love here, so to speak.
They are, and part of that is kind of our timing in getting them out. So we have probably 4 or 5 more that at the beginning of the new year that we will start accepting formal proposals on.
I see.
Overall, I say we have about 10 to 12 that definitely need some love, as you put it.
And one of those, just pick one of those 10 to 12. How much does one of those buildings cost? What are we talking about here in terms of an initial investment?
Right. And it does depend on each site. The district has some rules that it has to follow based on some past agreements. Each building is serving as collateral for bonds that were issued. So we're required to get fair market value for each building as established by an appraisal, which some school districts haven't had to do that. You know, if they've been sitting vacant for a very long time, you know, they could sell for a dollar to promote its reuse.
I was going to say, to what extent is that holding you back in terms of finding new uses for some of these old buildings?
You know, I think we're really going to see as we move a little bit forward over the next 3 or 4 months. Now, some of the sites have appraised very low. Willard, which is in the Green Impact Zone, is, I think, one of my favorite sites. It actually did appraise at zero.
Wow.
Because of its condition.
Wow.
And so, you know, there is some more flexibility there with pricing. You know, the approach that we're taking is not only, you know, we have to be good stewards of public resources, but also ensuring that we're looking out for the best interest of the neighborhoods, and that is not having a vacant building for a long period of time. So.
Just generally speaking, are some of these buildings, Shannon, are they a steal? Are they a good deal?
I would think so.
Okay.
I mean, you know, Elizabeth might be able to share with you some of her kind of favorite aspects of some of them. She'll probably do a better job of expressing that than
yeah,
I
Elizabeth,
will.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, I would definitely concur with Shannon that Willard is at the top of my list of those favorite of those 30 buildings that we've looked at. It needs a lot of love. It needs a lot of love. But it again, its bones are really strong. It has finishes that are remarkably intact. It's not going to be an inexpensive prospect to reuse, but if you can get it for a dollar, mm-hmm. boy, that's starting at a really good level, at a really good place.
Yeah. You know, Mindy, I have a sense, and steer me here if I'm wrong, that there would be more potential, more old buildings looking for new uses on the Missouri side than the Kansas side. Or is that beginning to change a little bit as some of these first-ring suburbs in the Johnson County area, including one where I live, as we all begin to age a little bit?
Yeah, in numbers, there probably are more on the Missouri side, but there are a lot of properties on the Kansas side that could use redevelopment. And I think the First Suburbs Coalition that the Mid-America Regional Council is working as an initiative to move some of those ideas forward, both in terms of housing, but also in terms of some of the commercial properties.
Huh.
We've had a number of schools that have closed on the Kansas side as well, and churches often go into those. A lot of big box stores, churches have gone into on the Kansas side.
Is there like a list of these places somewhere? Is there a website you go to find a list of these old buildings where you can go find out where to go?
Well, I don't know that there's necessarily a list of available properties, mm-hmm. but there are different databases. The Kansas State Historical Society, for instance, maintains an online database of all of their historic buildings, actually even surveyed properties. So a building may be on the National Register or not, but if it's been inventoried, you can go online and find out a little bit about its history.
Yeah.
We've done a survey in Johnson County, and we've probably surveyed close to 12,000 properties. Our survey really focused on buildings built in 1950 or earlier, mm-hmm. and those are all online on a website that we partner with the Johnson County Library to maintain called jocohistory.net.
And so how many buildings are we talking about here?
There's probably 12,000 on that site, and they're all types. There are rural buildings, commercial buildings, a lot of residences, obviously.
And these are all
Johnson
buildings
County.
Looking for new uses?
No, they're just a survey of older buildings, mm-hmm. but many of them are in underutilized properties. And I think as growth continues to go west and south and metro-wide, going north and east, and there is a lot of development property and opportunities in some of those inner ring suburbs.
Yeah.
And I know that, again, the First Suburbs Coalition has also worked on repurposing and redeveloping some of these dead retail spaces. And they may be malls. I think in Kansas City, we've seen a lot of enclosed malls that have seen their life cycle ebb and flow, and there are a number of those available. And how do you repurpose some of those properties? I think that idea of repurposing properties in suburban areas is something that is getting a lot more attention nationally.
Yeah.
There's a lot of examples of how to do that and how to correct some of the things that people maybe miss from living in more urban, walkable, pedestrian-friendly or transit-friendly neighborhoods that suburban areas are not well known for.
Yeah.
But people are missing, and so there's lots of ways to look at that. And Overland Park, I think, has a really progressive plan to do that with their Vision Metcalf plan, which really runs a huge portion of the Metcalf corridor from up where it connects with Mission and Shawnee Mission Parkway all the way south to, I believe it goes past 119th Street. So
I'm guessing, Elizabeth, that the number of old buildings looking for new uses has really grown given the economy the last few years, right?
Actually, old buildings have been one of the best sources of economic development over the last few years. Or old buildings have been – there's been more construction activity related to old buildings than new construction.
Because they're a cheaper alternative.
They're not necessarily a cheaper alternative, but there are financial incentives that make them very attractive.
Like historic preservation tax credits.
Exactly.
Which we'll talk about in a few minutes.
Exactly.
Okay. Let's go to some phone calls here. Again, we're talking about new uses for old buildings. Our listeners have some good ideas. I think Colby here from Overland Park has a building I've spent a whole lot of time in. Colby, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
How are you guys?
Well, thanks, Colby.
Yeah, I was calling about the Wonderscope building in Shawnee, the old school building there.
Great, great pick. What do you like about it?
I take my daughter there a lot. You know, she's 9 now. We went last summer, we went quite a bit. But, you know, the interactivity for the learning for the kids, You know, you go through the whole building, and each classroom has a different, you know, attraction. And you get to the end, and they have the big Lego area where you can see what it's like to live in a submarine that's built out of Legos. Mm-hmm. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, great selection, Colby. Thanks for calling. Again, our number here, 816-235-2888, our email address, update@kcur.org. Patrick from Leawood. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning. A wonderful place is the Alcott Arts Center at 18th Street and I-70 in Kansas City, Kansas. It's been repurposed. It's an old school. It's been repurposed, and they have art gallery shows there, original theater production, things like Rocky Horror Picture Show, Zombie Prom, great things like that.
Are you guys familiar with the Alcott Arts Center?
I'm not. No,
we're getting two shakings of heads here, Patrick. Okay, I'm glad you called it in. Thank you.
Thanks.
And again, some other possibilities for new uses for old buildings include places like Union Station, the Webster House, the Bollinger Center, all in downtown Kansas City. Our phone number here again for your pick for a great idea, a great use of an old building with a new use, 816-235-2888, our email address, update@kcur.org. Well, I'm guessing here, Elizabeth, that one of the big issues is you mentioned it's sometimes not cheaper to find a new use for an old building. There are huge problems like old heating systems, old windows that add to cost pretty quickly here.
Absolutely. And, you know, everybody's always concerned about asbestos and lead paint.
Yeah.
Those are issues, but they're not insurmountable.
Mm-hmm.
And there are always ways to deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting while we were touring all of these school sites with Shannon and I over the spring and into the early summer. You know, we would go – there were some buildings that were built in the 19-teens, 1920s, and there are other buildings that were built in the 1950s or even the 1960s. And, you know, everybody always thinks that older buildings are going to be much less energy efficient than the newer buildings, but – when it got to be 90 degrees outside and we were going into these different buildings, it was the older buildings that actually stayed much cooler into May and June compared to some of the 1950s school buildings.
What did you make of that?
They had nice thick masonry walls. They didn't have full banks of windows. They were sided so that they captured the sun at the right times of day.
Mm-hmm. Have you been in the new federal courthouse downtown Kansas City that's been turned into a series of loft apartments or apartments down there?
I've not been in it yet. I've heard it's fabulous.
I've heard it's fabulous. And what a great example that is. Yeah, maybe.
Well, I think the other thing is those buildings were designed without the idea of air conditioning. So, you know, the flow of the architectural design of them really lend themselves to being cooler because you don't have the air. So the modern buildings are really built with air conditioning in mind, and they don't have windows that open and the airflow, natural airflow that comes along with that. So that's another factor.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a break here. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation here about new uses for old buildings, and we'll get your ideas, too, at 816-235-2888. Our email address, again, update@kcur.org. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. And welcome back to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. We're talking today about old uses for new buildings. We're visiting with Mindy Love, who served as director of the Johnson County Museum since 2000, Elizabeth Rosen, founder and principal of Rosen Preservation, and Shannon Jacks, who's director of the Repurposing Initiative for Kansas City, Missouri Public Schools. And Shannon, this is your, this is your full-time job, right?
Correct. It is.
Yeah. How busy does it keep you these days?
Busy.
Yeah. Can you envision a day? Is your goal to have all 30 schools occupied again, like by when? What's the target here?
You know, I honestly haven't thought about it in that way. But really, the goal is to ensure that the 30 sites can be assets once again for our neighborhood.
Right.
In some cases. You know, this is hard for some to hear, but in some cases it may mean that it's not the building. that remains. But for the vast majority, we hope that that's the case.
Yeah. We have an email here, Shannon, from Mike, who writes, I'm a new resident to the area. Could Shannon Jacks talk about a couple of school sites in my Midtown area, 37th and Paseo near Squire Park, he writes, and 43rd and Tracy, Mannheim School. It seems that there's a bit of construction activities at these two schools. I have heard that art studio and apartment spaces could be developed there.
I believe 43rd and Tracy. Elizabeth, is that the project
that
you... Yes.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that one first?
Sure. There is a developer who's looking at affordable housing over at 43rd and Tracy and has submitted an application for affordable housing credits. So we will know, hopefully, in February if that project is going to be a go.
How about 37th and Paseo?
I believe 37th and Paseo.
That should be Old Faxon.
Yes.
And that was correct, isn't it, Shannon? That's a building that the district sold a couple of years ago.
Yeah, the district sold it in either 08 or 09 before we started, you know, this formal repurposing process. And I think actually contributed to the approach that we're taking. Some of the more recent sites that we have sold are still vacant. And it has been a concern both of the school board, the district, right, and the neighborhoods. And so the approach that we've been taking is a little bit more proactive and involved to ensure that, you know, when we do dispose of properties and no longer under our ownership, they don't remain vacant for a considerable amount of time.
Right. Again, we're looking for your nominations for Best New Use of an Old Building. Our number, 816-235-2888. Our email address, UpToDate at KCUR.org, or tweet us at KCUR UpToDate. Sarah nominates this on KCUR's Facebook page. Teller's Restaurant over in Lawrence used to be a bank. It's a great restaurant. The women's restroom is located in the vault. High ceilings and large windows give the dining area a lovely ambiance. Free State Brewery just down the street used to be the bus station. They retain the original stone walls and some of the other remnants of that era. Donovan emailed us this. I wish to nominate 1006 Grand Loss, professional building apartments and courthouse loss, all located along Grand Boulevard, bring over 400 units of housing to three buildings that were vacant for over 10 years or longer. The over $60 million in development wouldn't have been possible without the state historic and low-income tax credits. Right, Elizabeth?
Absolutely.
And the state of Missouri, speaking of tax credits, has one of the best low-income historic preservation programs in the country, perhaps the best in terms of dollars spent every year. It's become very controversial down in Jeff City, as you know. Tell us about that program and how important it is to the state of Missouri and redeveloping old buildings.
The Missouri historic tax credits are critical to not only to these projects, but to communities across the state. We hear a lot of the politicians looking for sort of the big fix to the economic situation and to job creation, whether it's the $360 million for Aerotropolis,
right,
or the governor gave a large tax credit to the Ford plant in Clay Como,
right,
which, you know, they are converting that into jobs. But the nice thing about the historic tax credits is that it funds design jobs, construction jobs, and it improves real property in communities throughout the state. It's a program that can be used by big developers in cities like Kansas City and St. Louis, as well as in small communities, places like DeSoto and West Plains and Trenton, that are outstate. And so it's an economic development tool that provides equal opportunity throughout the state to all of our communities.
Isn't the state of Missouri's historic preservation tax credit program the most lucrative in the country right now?
It is
a
leader.
Spent?
It is, for the past 8 to 10 years, it has consistently been ranked number 1, 2, or 3, depending upon how you slice the pie. If you're looking at dollars spent or projects completed, that position varies slightly.
You know, I know numbers can be fudged to say really anything you want, but critics of historic preservation down in Jeff City, some senators, some state reps say the bang for the buck, the return on the dollar, isn't what it needs to be to continue those programs. And you say what to that?
I say that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Studies completed by the Department of Economic Development show that each dollar the state spends in a historic tax credit leverages five, almost $6 in return. Mm-hmm. And the other thing you need to keep in mind, that unlike many other incentive programs, before a developer is going to receive $1 of state money, they will already have spent all of their public investment. They will have gone through a very detailed scrutiny of their plans, of mm-hmm. their ownership agreements, of their financial arrangements.
And you can't really – there's some aspects of these buildings you can't mess with once you get involved with this program, right?
These buildings are all listed on the National Register of Historic Places. The design has to be reviewed to make sure that you're protecting the essential historic character, the historic mm-hmm. fabric. Mm-hmm. And the rules are pretty stringent.
Yeah. But so you back the program. You think it's a good idea.
Absolutely. It has kept people employed throughout the past couple of years of economic downturn.
Okay. New uses for old buildings is our topic today. Lots of phone calls with your nominations for great new uses for old buildings. Let's go to Thomas from Kansas City, Missouri. Thomas, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
The two buildings I really like are the – it used to be a hospital, and it's about just a little west of the Paseo one, about 26th Street.
Mm-hmm.
It's senior housing now. And there's another senior housing that's just it's about 30th and Benton. It used to be a school.
Yeah. Okay.
The hospital is really beautiful on the inside because it's got very wide halls and marble floors, and the residents there are quite happy with it.
Are you familiar with it?
The hospital was originally built as Christian Church Hospital. R.A. Long was one of the financiers for that development project back in, I think, 1914.
Yeah.
And that has been a really successful project. And then the other building he was referring to is the D.A. Holmes School.
Mm-hmm.
And as we were going through the repurposing site visits and talking about reuse options, we heard so many people say, well, if you could do a project like D.A. Holmes, we'd like to have that in our community.
Yeah.
Well, there's such a great need for it, too.
Yeah. Thomas, thank you for the call. I appreciate
it.
Do each of you have a nomination for your favorite new use of an old building? What would you point to? Because mine would be the Bollinger Center, the new home of the Kansas City Ballet. I just was absolutely blown away by what I've seen over there the two times I've been there. Mindy? Yeah,
I think the National Archives, the building they've moved in down by Union Station, is another
all in the
great,
same neighborhood.
Right.
Here.
I think that's another great adaptive reuse.
Terrific.
And getting them in a location, too. A lot of it's about, you know, bringing on partners and nuances together that support each other, and I think that does really well.
Shannon, how about you? Do you have one around town?
Well, I'll plug another school reuse, which is the Webster House in downtown.
Mm-hmm. Great, great reuse, and boy, they have they're booming now with the new Kauffman Center
mm-hmm.
nearby. Elizabeth, how about you?
I still go back to one of my first tax credit projects, which was the old roundhouse that's now the Output Technologies offices on the west side, Business Park, the old roundhouse off of Southwest Boulevard.
Oh,
and that was
yeah.
just a dramatic reuse. It's beautiful, beautiful building, and a building that really would have been lost, a very rare property type as well.
We talked about Missouri, Elizabeth, being near the top of the national rankings in terms of historic preservation, how many dollars are put to that use each year. Where does Kansas rank?
Kansas ranks a little lower, mainly because they have fewer buildings and they don't have the large cities that Missouri does. But their program, in some ways, I think is better than the Missouri program. It's the same 25% tax credit, but you only need to spend $5,000 to initiate a project. So for somebody in a small town who owns a commercial building in a historic district or owns a residential property, you know, you can replace a boiler or put a new roof on and still get that 25% back.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing they do really well is they make their credit available to not-for-profits, like the Johnson County Museum, that they, even mm-hmm. though they can't use the credit themselves, they can sell it and then use that money to, you know, pay off loans or to further enhance their
project. Doesn't that happen in Missouri, too?
Missouri, you can sell your credits, but not-for-profits cannot receive credits.
Right. And we operate at the Johns County Museum a schoolhouse called the Lanesfield School. It's on the National Register, built in 1869 in the rural countryside, and we actually took advantage of that tax credit and were able to do more of the project because we had those tax credits, which then again you sell them through a bank to realize that, and someone that needs a tax credit can buy it. So there's that other the end of it is also nice in that someone that needs a tax credit has the opportunity to buy them that maybe can't take advantage of the program otherwise.
Right. Well, Demi from Prairie Village. Good morning, Demi. I'm sorry, Demi. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, thanks.
Good. I'm calling about the gorgeous school building that's on Southwest Traffic Way near the Valentine neighborhood.
Which school is it?
I think it might have been Washington, but I'm not sure.
That's Norman School.
Norman.
That's another one from that group that was sold by the school district a few years back and unfortunately continues to sit vacant.
Hmm.
Oh, it's such a beautiful structure. I drive by it twice a day, and I think, I can see the Kansas City Art Institute expanding here. I can see, you know, something really great for that neighborhood going into that building. And is it just in terrible condition inside?
I haven't been in for a few years. The last time I was in, it wasn't horrible. It's certainly recoverable.
Oh, and so
beautiful.
Someone owns it?
There is I believe it has a private owner.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I was hoping for someone to take over and do something great with it. Well, thank you for your answer on that.
Yeah, thank you very much. And so what happens if that building just continues to sit there empty year after year, Elizabeth? What happens?
I believe there are conversations going right now where there are one or two entities who are trying to purchase the building.
Mm-hmm.
It is for sale again.
Right.
And hopefully a transaction will be made shortly. Once it's in private hands, there's only so much you can do.
Right. Let's go to Brenda from Kansas City, Missouri. Brenda, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, thanks.
My comment is this. I live in the Marlboro area, and I thought that perhaps utilizing the building, Marlboro School, that's kind of just a little bit past 75th and Troost area, that perhaps it could be considered for a hub for nonprofits. I think that would be a great idea. And then also, it has a great big parking lot that maybe a mobile market could have some space there because we don't have any grocery stores in our immediate area. That could be something good. And then also, another suggestion would be that if the nonprofits could be hubbed there, perhaps it would be a teaching experience for the students that, because we cover really Center School District and the Kansas City, Missouri School District. So we have a lot of students there in our area, and perhaps teach them about green projects and things like that, because we are in the Project Green or Target Green area.
Well, Brenda, you've got all kinds of ideas here. You got the whole thing planned out.
I was going to say it's very timely because we actually have a meeting with the Marlboro Neighborhood Association tonight.
That's correct, and I'll be there. Right.
Fabulous. Well, the nonprofit use is definitely something that has come up both at Marlboro and some of the other sites. And what we've heard is that, you know, a lot of the nonprofits don't have the need for the entire building or the capacity to take on the entire building, but would be very interested in co-locating with some other similar missions nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the things that we're working on in a couple of the sites that I'm really optimistic about.
Well, Shannon Jack, say hello to Brenda.
Hi there, Shannon, and I will see you tonight.
Fabulous.
Thanks for calling, great. Brenda. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, Elizabeth, just walk through the process just briefly here for me. How do you determine whether an old building is even worth saving to begin with?
It's going to be based on a couple of factors. One is its integrity, its architectural integrity, how much of its original fabric is still left. Some changes are okay, but if too much of that character is gone and you can't tell what it was or how it had looked at a point in time when it was first built or some point in its history, that's going to take you out of the running. The other question is, does it have historical significance? Mm-hmm. And so you want to look at both the history of the building. Is it an architectural significance? Is it some other association with event or a pattern of history, commercial development, for instance, or education? Does it have an association with a particular person?
Yeah. Well, Shannon Jags, can you imagine not being able to save some of the buildings in Kansas City, Missouri? Will they be bulldozed at some point? Is that even a possibility?
Well, it's one of the things that we've had to discuss with local stakeholders. Elizabeth knows, and I don't know if she cringes every time we talk about it, but, for every site we've asked, what are your feelings about demolition? When would it be appropriate? The ultimate goal and what we've heard from most of the neighborhoods is, we'd really like to reuse the building. It has significance. Our families have been here. It's been a center of the neighborhood. But many have said that if it does become an overwhelming blighting influence without, any near-term potential, mm-hmm. that it is something that we may need to consider. We're not there yet on any of the sites, but, winters are a tough time for our buildings with break-ins and vandalism.
Yeah. Cheryl in Brookside asked this, Shannon, what's being discussed for the Bryant School building at 57th and Wernel?
Bryant has been a very popular site. We've got great participation from the community. It's actually one of the sites that we are accepting proposals on right now that will be due in February. Mm-hmm. But we've heard housing, a combination of housing and community center. Rock Hill Tennis Club has been very open about their interest in the building. And there's even been some talk about potentially reuse of the building for either apartments or condos and maybe even some additional construction of housing on the site.
David from Shawnee Mission writes, in Overland Park, the Dolgen store into the Central Resources Library, also the Kemper Museum's new administrative offices in an old home. I couldn't recommend that one enough. That's a beautiful home as well. I've been there before. I want to thank you all very much for coming in today. Just really enjoyed the conversation. Thanks very much.
Thank you for having us.
You bet. That's Mindy Love, served as director of the Johnson County Museum since 2000. Elizabeth Rosen, founder and principal of Rosen Preservation, and Shannon Jacks, director of the Repurposing Initiative for Kansas City, Missouri Public Schools.